Welcome to American Indian and Alaskan Native Living, a program designed to educate and inspire listeners throughout Indian country. American Indian and Alaskan Native Living is hosted by Dr. David DeRose, a board-certified specialist in both internal medicine and preventive medicine. Dr. DeRose has a wide range of experience with Native health issues, and he is here today to help you learn more about your health. Here is Dr. DeRose.
Welcome to American Indian and Alaska Native Living. We are doing something really exciting here in 2026 and into 2027. 2027 marks our 25th year of American Indian and Alaska Native Living Radio. The show originally was released, actually had a couple of earlier names for the show. You may remember it at one point being called American Indian Living. And we're going to be going back in the archives. One of the things that I love about Indian country is something that Dr. Joni Bakavoy, who's in the studio with me, I think can immediately relate to. Dr. Bakavoy, one of the things I've so appreciated in Indian country is the value the First Nation peoples place on the wisdom of the elders. Have you noticed that in growing up Native?
Absolutely, and I love that. I think it's very important.
What I love about this is modern culture often says, oh, that was published 2 years ago. My mom knew about that. Oh, that's no good. I want to learn something new. Well, often the things that have been talked about for many years, sometimes they're the most time-tested and the most valuable. We're going to be looking over the course of 2026, 2027, from time to time. We'll be revisiting kind of classic shows, shows that I thought really made a big difference, really communicated truths that are relevant today. And we're going to start that way with this show. So we're going to go back in the archives nearly 20 years. We recorded this show in 2007. My guest at the time was someone by the name of Sherry Kalbaum. Sherry had written a book called Sleep Away the Pounds. She's a master's level trained nutritionist at the time she wrote this book. And we're going to dive into it. And then Dr. Bakavoy and I, from time to time, will dialogue about it. So, Joni, great to have you with me for the show today.
My pleasure. Thank you.
So with that introduction of who's in the studio right now, we're going to go back to the studio nearly 20 years ago where I introduced Sherry Kalbaum.
Sherry, it's great to have you with us.
Well, thank you, Dr. David. It's a pleasure to be with you and talking about one of my favorite subjects right now, which is sleep.
Well, you know, sleep is a subject that I think most people grew up with the idea, at least if they were raised in an urban environment. You know, we have some people who are very close to their traditional roots as far as our listenership, and they valued sleep. But most people in the Western world, it seems like sleep is a pain. It's a chore. And the less sleep you can get by with, the better off you are. But you're looking at the physiology and the problems we face today, and you're coming to some different conclusions. Isn't that right, Sherry?
Yeah, that is correct. We've looked at a lot of research and found some real definite correlations between either lack of sleep or not sleeping restfully. And you are exactly right when you said that people don't look at sleep positively. In this country, oftentimes, it's almost a badge of honor to say, oh, I get by in 5 or 6 hours sleep a night. A lot of people are kind of proud of that, that they don't have to sleep any more than that. And yet what happens if we don't get enough sleep, and enough sleep for most people is between 7 and 9 hours, the researchers found. And if we're not sleeping the number of hours we need or restfully while we're in bed, hormones like ghrelin get out of balance, leptin gets out of balance. And when ghrelin gets out of balance, it's a hormone that causes us to want to eat a lot more food, and it goes up, and it will cause people to eat the most fattening foods like cakes, cookies, ice cream, pies, salting things like potato chips. And the hormone leptin, which controls the appetite, goes down. And so now they found people just had a full-blown appetite for the most fattening foods. And you mentioned leptin resistance, insulin resistance, diabetes, and eating all of those foods can definitely contribute to all of those things. So sleep, that they really direct link to a lot of things, not just weight.
You know, the exciting thing to me about this topic, Sherry, is many people over the years, when they heard things about health, it always was a message about something they had to do, something they had to give up, something they had to change. And I think when we start speaking about sleep, to most people, it actually sounds too easy. I mean, telling people just to stay in bed a little bit longer, I mean, it almost sounds like a gimmick or a joke.
Yeah. Yes, Paul, I know people have said that to me so many times, and yet there are dozens of research studies from universities like Stanford, Columbia, University of Chicago that show that it's very, very important to get the hours of sleep that you need. And we're all individual. We all need something maybe a little bit different than the other person. But it may not be easy for everyone to sleep either, because we know that sleep problems are on the rise. 70 million Americans are diagnosed with insomnia, and it's guessed that many, many more, at least half of our population, they know, have sleep problems at least a couple of nights a week, where people are not either able to fall asleep easily, or they wake up during the night and don't get back to sleep easily. And so staying asleep or getting to sleep may not be as easy as we thought for a lot of people.
We've got to talk on today's show about things that can help people get to sleep, stay asleep. But before we go there, I think we still got to address an issue that's probably in a lot of our listeners' minds. We began by speaking about, you know, this kind of badge of honor that many people seem to think they have, that they can get by on so little sleep. And yet you give statistics, and we've all seen these in print and the medical community, and no doubt our lay listeners have as well, you know, the 7 to 9 hour. Is there any way that an individual can find out how much sleep they really need?
Well, yes. Researchers found that people, when they went on vacation, oftentimes slept a lot more, and they were catching up. So they said, take a weekend. Don't set your alarm. Go to bed at a decent hour and just see how long you sleep without waking up. Just see how long naturally you sleep. And over a couple of days, your body will undoubtedly be catching up on sleep. And then on the third or fourth day, again, do the same thing. Go to sleep. Don't set your alarm. And see, you may have to go to bed earlier if you're working. And see when you naturally wake up. And that should let you know about how many hours you need. And again, most people need somewhere between 7 and 9, probably right in the center is where a lot of people are, at about 8 hours a night.
So if I'm hearing you right, and maybe applying this, Sherry, could we say that if someone really on a day-to-day basis wanted to make sure they were getting enough sleep, provided they had no sleeping problems, that they would just get to bed early and not set an alarm and just wake up when they woke up? Is that a good rule of thumb?
It is a good rule. And in Sleep Away the Pounds, we have it all outlined there so that you can figure out just what you need and see what your body tells you naturally to do.
Okay, you just mentioned Sleep Away the Pounds. I know you've got a book that bears that title. I'll just be honest with you, Sherry. When I first saw that title and heard about the topic, until I started really thinking about it physiologically, I said, I mean, this is just some kind of a scam, you know, Sleep Away the Pounds. I mean, no doubt we've got a lot of listeners, even though we've been talking about the subject, they're thinking, you know, right, Sleep Away the Pounds. Come on, how stupid do you think I am?
Yeah.
This book that you've got out there, is it a book with a lot of solid science references in it? Is it a practical book? I mean, how would you describe it for our listeners?
It's all of the above. It's very, very practical, and lots of solid science behind what we say, and backed up by proven studies that show how lack of sleep can cause people to eat more and gain more weight. And the reverse, true. How when you get a good night's sleep, your appetite is more under control. And we have so many practical tips and Sleep Away the Pounds. In the chapter on your best sleep now, over 60 sleep tips on how to get a good night's sleep. And then my husband, who's a psychotherapist, has the stress reduction, how to quiet your mind and get it to calm down. A lot of people have a chattering mind when they go to bed and just can't seem to calm that mind down. And so how do you deal with worry and anxiety and stress and so you can get a good night's sleep. And so there are many, many practical tips in that chapter. And then the weight loss part of the diet, the 21-day menu plan, is really practical and just dozens and dozens of tips and a menu outline in how to get those refined carbs out of your diet, make great choices so that you'll sleep better and you'll lose weight, because there's a direct correlation between the two. And then the exercise chapter, which exercises to choose to help improve your sleep and improve your weight loss. So it's a very, very practical book, and it's based on really good science behind the whole thing. There's so much more in Sleep Away the Pounds, the book. The herbs and some of the other information there is helpful and can be great tools to help you kickstart a program. As my husband says, in working with people in the end of psychology, the end of things and stress, sleep doesn't just start at night. It starts during the day, and it starts with balancing our lives and managing our stress. And many people have quite stressful lives, and so it's really good to find out just how balanced your life is. And the Life Balance Quiz is also in Sleep Away the Pounds book.
Very good. Let's talk about some of these interrelated dynamics. You're talking about exercise, Sherry, and anyone who's dealing with high blood pressure, heart disease, diabetes, depression. I mean, the list goes on and on. I mean, people are being advised to get more exercise. And yet when it comes to sleep, sometimes exercise, at least at certain times of the day for some people, may actually interfere with quality sleep. Is there really an optimal time of day to exercise?
Well, yes. Again, research found morning and even into the afternoon, if you're doing aerobic types of exercise, more strenuous things, is the optimal time. And in the evening, you can exercise, but it's better not to get that high impact aerobic type exercise before bed, if you can help it, because that can keep you up. It can energize your body too much. But other types of exercise, like the stretching types and deep breathing, those are very good in the evening and can help get more oxygen into your bloodstream, which helps you both sleep better and lose weight. And overall, they found that people that exercise do typically sleep better, because exercise increases growth hormone. Growth hormone helps us sleep better. It also helps build more muscle. So we lose more weight. Even at a resting heart rate, we're going to be burning more calories. So all the way around, we're going to benefit by bringing some exercise into our lifestyle.
Well, Joni, I can imagine a lot of our listeners are tuning in and they're saying, hey, this is nearly 20 years ago. Has this stuff changed? Is this really still relevant? What kind of an answer would you give, Joni?
Oh, I would say it's very relevant. I hear people all the time talking about issues related to sleep, to weight loss, and I've also heard the combination. So I know that this is a hot topic.
Yeah, I'm totally on the same page. And the science is really clear. We want folks to know, if they're wondering, because it's an older show, the book is still available. You've done some fact-checking, and the book Sleep Away the Pounds by Sherry Kalbom, C-A-L-B-O-M is her last name, is still available on a number of sites. And I would just say, if someone's really interested in this topic, pick up a copy. You even found that because it's been out for a while, there's some pretty inexpensive ways to get the book. Am I understanding that right, Dr. Bracovoy?
That's true. You can go to Thrift Books. And there's even on eBay and for a very low price. So there's a lot of opportunities to get this book.
Okay, so apparently still in print. Also, you can pick up, you know, many of the used book places that you frequent. Sleep Away the Pounds, subtitle Optimize Your Sleep and Reset Your Metabolism for Maximum Weight Loss. We're going to talk more about this topic in our next segment. In fact, we're going to go back to that interview with Sherry Kalbom. And I think you're going to find some really practical things that can help you on your journey to better sleep and more optimal weight, if that's a goal of yours. I'm Dr. David DeRose, my co-host, Dr. Joni Bracovoy. We're going back into the archives of American Indian and Alaska Native Living. Stay tuned, some more great material on this program right after this.
Today's broadcast has been pre-recorded. However, if you have questions about today's show or would like further information, please reach out to us on the web at aianl.org. That stands for American Indian Alaska Native Living. Again, aianl.org. Or you can call us at 1-800-775-HOPE. That's 1-800-775-4673. We'll be right back after this.
We are strong, we are resilient, and we will get through this together. But these are stressful times, and it's important to also practice good self-care. It's normal to feel overwhelmed, anxious, or afraid, but there is hope. Reach out to someone, connect with your friends, stay in touch with your community, and know that you are not alone. Learn more at wearebroadcasters.com/hope. Furnished by the National Association of Broadcasters and this station.
When Jim died, I wondered if I would be able to keep the farm. Then I heard about the USDA's loan program for socially disadvantaged farmers and ranchers. It's for women and minorities who may be having trouble getting credit. Once I was approved, the USDA's Farm Service Agency helped me get the credit I needed. Now I don't have to sell, and I can pass the farm down to my kids the way Jim's dad passed it down to him. I know he'd like that.
Contact your local USDA service center or visit www.fsa.usda.gov.
Social Security is with you through life's journey from birth to retirement. As your life changes year to year, so do your needs. For over 80 years, Social Security has helped to meet your needs and is committed to improving access to the services that make a difference in your life. Today, you can verify your earnings, estimate your future benefits, apply for retirement, manage your benefits, and even change your address, all from the comfort of your home. Social Security's online services help put you in control with secure access to your information anytime, anywhere, allowing you to spend more time with family, friends, or simply just enjoying the day. Social Security, securing today and tomorrow. See what you can do online at socialsecurity.gov.
Produced at U.S. taxpayer expense.
You're listening to Dr. David DeRose on American Indian and Alaska Native Living. Your comments and questions are welcome. Call now at 1-800-775-HOPE. That's 1-800-775-4673. Here again is Dr. DeRose.
Welcome back to American Indian and Alaska Native Living. I'm Dr. David DeRose. My co-host, Dr. Joni Bakavoy. Dr. Bakavoy, you have a background in public health, also in nursing. We've been talking about the power of sleep. As you've been thinking about this and think back on your work in Indian country, how important is this issue of sleep, not just in Indian country, but in the world as a whole?
Oh, it's a huge issue. It's such an important issue. And, you know, in our crazy busy schedules, people don't get the kind of sleep that they need, and they don't address some of the issues that affect sleep. And I've seen it be a big issue in pretty much any of the preventive health work that I do. Very, very high priority.
So incredibly important topic. It was important 19 years ago. It's still important today. And we're going to go back to that original interview. Dr. Joni Bakavoy and I will be bringing some contemporary analysis of it, dialogue or relating to it as well, just like we've been doing. So we're going to go back, though, right now to the recording from 19 years ago when I did that initial interview, speaking about Sherry Kalbaum and her book, Sleep Away the Pounds.
Sherry, before we slipped away for our break, we were speaking about optimal times of day to exercise and kind of begged the question about some of our listeners who do exercise regularly. Maybe they're in some kind of a basketball league, or maybe they play tennis in the evenings, or maybe it's just the only time of day they have just to get out and work in their garden or walk around the neighborhood, whatever they do for exercise, and they can fall right to sleep. Are you saying that they need to change the time of day they exercise because that evening exercise is not good?
Well, everything you just mentioned, I think, is excellent. And if it's working for you, you probably don't have to change a thing. And gardening and walking around the neighborhood just sounds perfect. You know, it's not too strenuous, and yet it's activity. Maybe other things. I would say only look at it if you're having trouble getting to sleep. But if it's working right for you, you're fine.
Great, great. So if someone is having trouble with getting to sleep and they've been exercising in the evening, maybe one of the places to look, you're saying, is changing that exercise time. Maybe that's overly stimulating you.
Yes, that's true. It's like maybe people would take oftentimes, so there aren't late evening aerobic, like step aerobic classes or something like that, where you're just really working hard, or you're right, playing basketball. That might be really, really strenuous. It depends on what level you're at and exercising at. But some people are just very used to that kind of exercise and it's not a problem at all. And they find it tires them out and they just go right to sleep when they get home. So everybody different.
Let me ask you this. You've talked about some of these hormones like leptin and others. We talked about insulin. But what is it about sleep that's so important to hormonal balance? Is there some way that you can explain this to someone who maybe hasn't sat through the graduate level physiology classes that you and I have had in our professional training?
Yes, I do try to make this simple because names like ghrelin and leptin seem to be very confusing. New terms that no one's heard or a lot of people haven't heard. But just think of it this way. There are some hormones that cause you to want to eat more food. And when you don't get enough sleep or a good night's sleep, they have a tendency to go up and make you want to eat more. And there are hormones that balance your appetite, like leptin, and they go down. And so you don't have the checks and balances. And that's where a lot of people end up with a lot of cravings. And as nutritionists, people often say to me, oh, I have all these cravings for things I don't want to eat, end up eating cookies or cake or ice cream, eating way too much, more than they ever started out thinking they were going to eat. And what's wrong with me, they'll say, and what's wrong with my willpower? And it may not be your willpower. It might be an imbalance of these appetite controlling and stimulating hormones that are out of balance. And sleep is one aspect of that, but also diet is another aspect as well. And eating too many refined carbs can cause us to be leptin and or insulin resistant. And so we may have enough of those hormones in our bloodstream, but we're not taking them into ourselves. And so we want to look at diet as well as sleep. And that's what Sleep Boy the Pounds does, is to look at diet and which foods also contribute to those hormones getting out of balance.
Let's talk a little bit more about leptin, for example. Now, leptin is actually made by fat cells. Isn't that correct, Sherry?
Yes, it is. And leptin is the appetite-controlling hormone. And it goes down when you don't get enough sleep. Researchers a number of years ago thought they had nailed the whole overweight business with leptin. Thought, oh, we'll just give people more leptin. We'll create a leptin pill, if you will, and we'll control the whole thing. And then they started measuring the blood of a lot of people who were overweight or obese. And a lot of those people had enough leptin in their bloodstream, but their cells just weren't taking it up. It wasn't getting into the cell. And so that's when they started looking at the whole concept of leptin resistance and what causes that. You may not have enough leptin, or maybe you've got enough, but because of dietary issues, your cells aren't taking it up. So it's a good thing to look at the whole hormonal issue and what you can do to help your body balance those hormones or balance the whole body chemistry so that you can utilize those hormones.
So let's then talk about getting leptin to work better. If this is going to be a hormone that may help people to trim down and control their appetite better, you've mentioned diet and sleep. Do we know what things in the diet will help to decrease leptin resistance? In other words, help the cells be more responsive to the leptin that a person does have?
Yes, I've got it all outlined in Sleep Away the Pounds in the 21-day menu plan. It's getting rid of, first of all, the refined carbohydrates. They can really contribute to leptin resistance. And a lot of times we don't think about everything we're eating that may be a refined carb. such as pizza dough, pasta. Most of the pasta is made out of white flour, and all the sweets. Most people do think about that, cakes, cookies, candy, ice cream, but other things. So much of the American diet is focused around refined carbs, and they turn to sugar. And sugar then creates a whole scenario of problems if we get too much of it, and it can contribute to leptin resistance. And that means that your cells just aren't taking that hormone in. You may have enough. Maybe you're sleeping okay, but you're not taking, the cells are not taking it in and sending the signal then to your brain that you've had enough to eat. And so the diet that does work is one that concentrates on lots of vegetables, lean protein, more low-sugar fruit than the high-sugar fruit, good fats, the essential fatty acids like fish and fish oils and flax seeds and olive oil, and getting rid of the bad fats like the fried foods, getting trans fats out of the diet, getting rid of some of the oils that tend to oxidize easily, like safflower, sunflower, corn, and soy oils tend to oxidize more easily. So getting those oils out of the diet and balancing the diet with enough of the good proteins that we can have some balance.
You know, the interesting thing about what you're mentioning, I know many people who are listening today from a traditional Native American perspective, I mean, they're thinking of a lot of the staples in Indian country. I mean, many parts of the country, whether you're in the Southwest, whether you're in the Northeast, they've revered things like corn and beans and squash. And now presumably, when we talk about these foods, even though we'd say, well, corn, I mean, that's a grain, it's a carbohydrate, you're making a distinction, aren't you, between the refined, you know, say white corn grits or white bread and maybe the whole grain wild rice or whole grain corn. Is that right? Those are actually different in the body?
They are definitely different. And whole grains are very different than the refined grains. So yes, the whole corn grain, rather than, like you say, the whiter, more refined, is much better. And wild rice, brown rice are great, but the white rice isn't so great.
Well, we're stepping away from that classic interview that was recorded nearly 20 years ago. Dr. David DeRose, still in the studio, but now with me is Dr. Joni Bakovoy. Joni and I have been listening to this interview together and just giving our comments as we're kind of celebrating, doing a series of shows over the course of 2026 and 2027, 25th anniversary of American Indian and Alaska Native Living. Joni, talking about these whole grains and speaking to someone who's got deep roots in Indian country like yourself, did you grow up in a Cherokee home where whole grains were given more value than these refined products?
My relatives did. And so they have deep roots down in Cherokee country, down in Stillwell and in that area, Tahlequah. And I know that they definitely put a high value with the whole grains, but they were poor. And so they ended up eating commodities. And so that meant that they got a lot of refined foods. So it didn't mean necessarily that was what they would like to eat, but it's what they had the money to have.
Well, Joni, we got to step away. We're going to come back to more of that original interview from Sherry Kalbaum. You and I will be sharing our input as well. For those who want more about Sherry's work, the book is still available that we're talking about, Sleep Away the Pounds, subtitle Optimize Your Sleep and Rest Your Metabolism for Maximum Weight Loss. I'm Dr. DeRose with Dr. Bakovoy. A lot more coming up in our second half of today's show. Don't go away.
American Indian and Alaska Native Living will continue in a moment. If you have questions or comments about today's pre-recorded broadcast, please contact us on the web at aianl.org or call 1-800-775-HOPE. That's 1-800-775-4673.
A message from the National Police Association. It used to be that any able-bodied person would offer to assist a police officer in danger. Now, passersby are more likely to take a video. There's a better use for your phone when an officer's in trouble. Call 911. Tell the operator where you are and what you see. Then, start your video to provide evidence later. To learn more about how you can assist law enforcement, visit nationalpolice.org. That's nationalpolice.org.
Unlike other health concerns, mental illness is not always easy to see. Depression won't show up on an eye chart, and you can't measure it on your bathroom scale. Sorting out a mental health concern is not something to attempt on your own. You won't find a bipolar disorder by looking at a thermometer. Like many other health conditions, help for mental illness takes professional diagnosis and treatment. Anxiety won't just go away under a stick-on bandage. So the sooner you seek treatment, the better. If you or a loved one has a mental health concern, don't go it alone. Find out what to do. For 24-hour free and confidential information and treatment referral, call 1-800-662-HELP. Learn more at samhsa.gov/support. That's samhsa.gov/support.
Using meth taught me everything about freedom, only not like you think. It taught me how easy it is to lose your freedom. If you think meth is taking control of you, ask for help. You have the power to be truly free. I know. I'm Jan, and I'm free from meth.
If you or someone you know is struggling with meth, call 1-800-662-HELP for 24-hour free and confidential treatment referral. Learn more at samhsa.gov/meth.
You're listening to Dr. David DeRose on American Indian and Alaska Native Living. Your comments and questions are welcome. Call now at 1-800-775-HOPE. That's 1-800-775-4673. Here again is Dr. DeRose.
Welcome back to the second half of today's edition of American Indian and Alaska Native Living. I'm Dr. David DeRose, my co-host in 2026. As we're revisiting some classic programs, is none other than Dr. Joni Bakavoy. Joni, it's been good to be listening to this classic show together and getting each other's feedback on the program. Thanks for joining me.
Thank you. It's been a pleasure.
For those who have just jumped on, we're actually listening to an interview that I recorded nearly 20 years ago that we're finding is still largely right on point, speaking about practical things you can do to optimize your sleep and your weight. The author, Sherry Kelbaum, was my guest back some 19 years ago as she was talking about her book, Sleep Away the Pounds. That book is still available both on Amazon.com and on other websites. Many used book websites also have this book available. Joni, as we're diving into this, this is one of my favorite titles of all time. As far as a health book, I just love the title, Sleep Away the Pounds. I love the concept because people think, well, there's no way you could just sleep your way to weight loss, but that's what we've been learning, haven't we?
That's true. It's really interesting. Good perspective.
So we're going to come back to that interview that I did with Sherry nearly 20 years ago. Dr. Bakavoy and I will stay by and we'll be dialoguing a bit more about the dialogue that I had many years ago. Here we go. Back with my question for Sherry Kelbaum.
As we were speaking in our last segment about some of the traditional wisdom of First Nation peoples, it really contrasts with a surprising fact. Many tribal gatherings you go to today, you'll find something like fry bread served, you know, that refined white flour cooked in oil. And many Native Americans are surprised to learn that this is really not a traditional food that goes back prior to European contact. The First Nation forefathers really did not cook things in fat, and this is a relatively recent addition to the Native American menu. Sherry, how would you put fry bread side by side with something like the beans and the whole corn and the squash that were staples before European contact? Are they pretty similar in their nutrient composition and what they do to our hormones?
Well, they aren't. The whole corn and beans and squash are great. They're whole foods and really great to have in one's diet. But the fried bread, the refined white flour, isn't, and it doesn't offer too much beside calories, and it turns to sugar very easily. And things that turn to sugar easily can contribute to leptin resistance, insulin resistance, contribute to diabetes, contribute to weight gain. If this is part of your social gathering, what else could you do besides that? And it might be making cornbread instead of the fried bread with that good whole corn. That would be an excellent replacement.
You don't know, I know some of our listeners are probably about ready to shut off the radio. This is the traditional Native American unity food. How can you be speaking against fry bread? But what I appreciate you doing, Sherry, is really calling us back to the wisdom of the ancients on this continent. I mean, this was not a part of their diet. It doesn't mean that someone at a tribal gathering couldn't eat something like that, but to realize that these are not the kind of foods that are really helping you when it comes to the hormones. I think that's really probably the most important message that we could give today. Wouldn't you say so?
Well, yes, absolutely. And there is great wisdom in the native foods and how people ate originally. And it's a wonderful idea to get back to that, because that's what for generations people thrived on, not just survived, but thrived and remained healthy. And so it's a great idea. And you said, yes, once in a while, maybe if it's a tradition at a gathering, you can have a few bites, and that's not going to throw your health system out of balance. But to do something like that often will. And so it's really a great idea to look at what are we doing daily or weekly that can really be affecting those hormones in our body that can get so out of balance and cause our whole system to get out of balance and put on weight, not sleep well, and not feel well. And so that's what I'm all about. My master's degree is in whole foods nutrition and looking culturally at the whole food that people have eaten in their culture for many, many, many years and the wisdom of that.
No, I mean, this is an excellent message that you're giving us. And really, it's the same message that I hear with sleep. I mean, it's really, you know, move away from all these artificial things that we have allowed to control our lives, whether it's the television set telling us, you know, we should be eating candy bars and drinking soft drinks, or whether it's the alarm clock telling us that, you know, we should wake up after we've been in bed only 6 hours because the computer and the television sets have kept us up till midnight or 1 a.m. So I really appreciate that message. I think it really resonates with many of our listeners.
I just wanted to thank you for bringing the television and computers, because it is true that so many people think they don't have time to get the sleep they need, and yet they are spending time with those things in the evening and can realize, oh, I could cut those things out and balance my life a little more and actually get the sleep I need.
No, excellent. I appreciate you emphasizing that. Let's move now to the stress hormones, because, you know, I've dealt with a lot of people over the years with diabetes. And in fact, a lot of my work in Indian country really grew out of work that I was doing starting back in the 90s with diabetes in Oklahoma, and began to work with a lot of tribal communities, tribal populations, reservation-based health issues dealing with the whole issue of diabetes. And one of the things that we noticed fairly early on as we were presenting things and working with people are the profound connections between anything that was robbing a person of sleep and blood sugar control. You know, the people that if they had sleep apnea, they were snoring and stopping breathing at night, they weren't getting quality of sleep for that reason. If they were cutting themselves short on sleep because of their work schedule, these things were really messing up their diabetes. And it seemed like the connection was with these stress hormones that were being driven. Is that a correct way of understanding what's happening? Are the stress hormones at the root of a lot of these sleep-related problems?
Absolutely true. In fact, they found that oftentimes when people aren't sleeping well, or if they're under a lot of stress, the hormone cortisol goes up. And cortisol has a direct correlation with everything you're talking about, with diabetes, with weight gain. They found that people with excess cortisol oftentimes had weight gain around the midsection, the belly area, hips and thighs. And Those can also be warning signals of heart disease. So you want to get that weight off in midsection as much as possible. And the adrenals that pump out cortisol can get very out of balance under stress. And sometimes they can even start pumping out cortisol at wrong times of the day. Cortisol was meant to decline as we wind down in the evening and get ready for sleep. And it was meant to increase in the morning when the sun rises and it's time to get up. But some people get really off cycle, off balance, and kind of the opposite begins to happen for them. Cortisol rises in the evening or sometimes during the night and wakes them up. And then it's low in the morning when they really need the energy and should be waking up with more energy. And yet they're saying, oh, I'm so tired. The alarm goes off. I can barely drag myself out of bed. And so it's very important to bring that back into balance and work on the health of the whole endocrine system. And diet, sleep are directly connected to that health as well.
Well, you know, so cortisol is one of these hormones that if we cut ourselves short on sleep, we're going to increase it. It's going to make things much more difficult in the weight loss area and handling diabetes. But what about diet, Sherry? I mean, are there certain bad choices when it comes to trying to keep the stress hormones in balance? Do you cover that in your book, Sleep Away the Pounds, as well?
I do. I have a whole section on that. And again, back to the refined carbs and maybe some things that we're not thinking about. We've covered already the refined flours and sugars. But what about diet sodas and soda pop? That's something a lot of times people don't think about. Soda pop has so much sugar in it and can really affect cortisol levels, insulin levels, and really put on weight and cause us to want to crave more sugar. And actually, they found that diet sodas were the worst. They caused people to want to crave even more sweets than even the sugar-sweetened sodas. And so more people that were drinking more and more diet sodas were putting on more and more weight, and it was having the opposite effect. So I would recommend getting those out of your diet if you're drinking soda pop and replacing it with something else that is sugar-free. There are some wonderful fruit-flavored waters. I really enjoy them, and they have no sugar, no sweeteners in them. And that's another option in place of soda pop. And that also alcohol is something that can affect cortisol and insulin and sleep and weight gain. A lot of times people have a nightcap. They'll have a glass of wine or something else before bed, thinking it will help them relax and get to sleep. And it isn't that it is. And it does oftentimes help people get to sleep, but it doesn't help them stay asleep. And they found in a number of studies that people who were drinking alcohol before bed were waking up in the middle of the night oftentimes and not getting back to sleep or not sleeping well through the night. It was kind of a restful sleep. And all of that, that also affects the cortisol and insulin levels, affects the weight, and affects how well we sleep. And caffeine, things that are high in caffeine, coffee, tea, chocolate. Want to be careful of those, especially later in the day. Mm-hmm. They can really affect how we sleep. They can also affect cortisol and insulin levels. So that's something else to look at. Maybe you want to replace caffeinated drinks with herbal teas and have those more often.
I mean, excellent point to get those caffeinated beverages out of the program. And I think a lot of people, they relate to that immediately, Sherry. They say, yeah, caffeine, I mean, we know that can keep us awake. And we know the sugary soft drinks, I mean, yeah, when you think about that, that's a lot of calories, that's a problem. But I think the two fascinating ones you mentioned, you know, are the alcohol and the diet sodas. And, You know, the alcohol, I really appreciate what you mentioned, because even the people that feel like they sleep through the night and they think their sleep is fine, just like you pointed out, I mean, the research literature shows that alcohol disrupts the normal restful sleep structure, if you will. We call it the sleep architecture in the science world, as you know. And so people are not getting that restful quality sleep if they're using alcohol to get to sleep. The one that I think is probably the hardest for people to comprehend is the one with the diet sodas. And I've seen that data too.
We're just stepping away from that interview on that note. We're going to actually come back in our final segment with a question that I ask about those artificially sweetened soft drinks. But right now we're back in our studios in 2026, Dr. David DeRose with Dr. Joni Bakavoy, engaging with a classic program that was first aired some 19 years ago. We are just going to step away briefly, and then we'll be back with more on today's edition of American Indian and Alaska Native Living.
Today's broadcast has been pre-recorded. However, if you have questions about today's show or would like further information, please call 1-800-775-HOPE. That's 1-800-775-4673. We'll be right back after this.
If a natural disaster comes knocking, how prepared is your family? You can't just close the door on earthquakes, floods, or hurricanes and hope they go away. That's why it's important to make a plan now. Ready.gov/plan has the tools and tips you need to prepare your family for an emergency. So if disaster shows up at your doorstep, you'll be ready. Visit ready.gov/plan and make a plan today. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
I'm just texting him back.
I'm just posting a story.
I'm just changing the song.
I'm just...
No. When it comes to distracted driving, just don't. Sending a text takes your eyes off the road for just 5 seconds, but in that time, your car can travel the length of an entire football field. Any distracted driving just isn't worth it.
Visit StopTextsStopWrecks.org. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
What is a number story?
My number story started with fear and a lack of support, and it has led me to be there for others.
A number story begins in our childhood with ACEs, adverse childhood experiences.
My number story begins with the separation from my father and the emotional abandonment from my mother, and leads to me being a role model to not only myself, but those around me by becoming the person that wasn't there for me.
ACEs are so common, 2/3 of us have one.
My number story begins with drug abuse and homelessness, and leads to realizing that I can live life by my own standards.
A study found the more ACEs, the more likely we may experience a host of serious health effects, physical and mental, but that doesn't need to be the case. Your ACE number is simply an entry point to your own story. Where it leads is up to you.
My number story begins with years of emotional abuse, and leads to peace, clarity, and security in my self-worth.
Take control of where your number story leads at numberstory.org.
You're listening to Dr. David DeRose on American Indian and Alaska Native Living. Your comments and questions are welcome. Call now at 1-800-775-HOPE. That's 1-800-775-4673. Here again is Dr. DeRose.
Welcome back for our final segment of today's edition of American Indian and Alaska Native Living. If you're just joining us, this is the first in a series of shows. We're not going to necessarily run these all one right after the other, but over the course of the next couple of years, as we're preparing to celebrate our 25th anniversary of the show, we're dusting off. I don't know if that's the right terminology when we're talking about recordings, but we're dusting off some of those old recordings and ones that we think have special relevance today. Our focus has been on weight loss, and especially Sleeping Away the Pounds. That is the title of Sherry Kalbaum's book. Came out some 19 years ago. That was the time when I actually interviewed her as well, back in 2007. We're going to go back to that recording, and then you'll hear a little bit more from Joni and myself as we wind up today's show. Let's take a listen.
Sherry, before the break, we were speaking about this whole issue of artificial sweeteners, diet soft drinks, and many people in the diabetes community have really thought that these things were really the key to them being able to live an enjoyable life and still enjoy the sweet things they liked. And we're finding in the research literature, like you mentioned earlier, these things seem to be part of the problem. They're not part of the solution when it comes to weight gain. How could that be? How could a beverage that has artificial sweeteners, how could that be a problem? What do we know about it?
Well, I mentioned in Sleep Away the Pounds a study. It's called the Lemonade Study. And researchers had three lemonade beverages. Mineral water with lemon, we all know that. Got Be the Good One, and then bittersweetened lemonade, and then diet sweetened lemonade. And they viewed the appetite of women in this study after they drank the different beverages. And the ones that drank the diet lemonade ate a lot more food than even the sugar sweetened lemonade. And they seemed to have a great craving for more sweets. So the diet sugar in this study caused the women to want to eat more sweet or drink more sweetened beverages. And those were the people that were putting on more weight than the other two groups. And so it's been proven in a scientific study. And it's kind of frustrating. And people may be listening to this now and thinking, oh, wow, I am really frustrated now because all of media advertising makes people think they're getting something really great. Oh, yeah, it's a diet sweetened. I can have it. They call it a diabetic food oftentimes where it's artificial sugar sweetened, but not good for you. In the long run, it's going to cause you actually to eat more sweets and gain more weight. So I have the sweeteners that I recommend in Sleep Away the Pounds. One of them is stevia. It's an herb.
Okay.
All natural. You can get it at any health food store nearly in America. And also, there's one particular sweetener. It's a xylitol. They're not all xylitol is good. And that's another one that's recommended for diabetic foods. But not all is good. A lot of it is a byproduct of the pulp industry and is not good. But there's one that is. And it's made from Finnish birch bark. And it's organic. And it's a natural xylitol, natural sweetener called the Ultimate Sweetener. And it's fine for diabetic too, as long as you use it in small amounts.
Okay, so basically the artificial sweeteners that were used in these studies, are they usually particular ones or is it not the one that matters? It's just it seems to be a kind of a class effect. Any artificial sweetener is going to make these cravings worse. Do we have any answer to that, Sherry?
Well, the one they used in that study was NutraSweet, aspartame. And since that time, there have been some other ones that have come on the market, and I'm not familiar with studies with those. My suspicion is that probably they're all going to fall into that category. I don't know that for sure. But there's other health problems associated with artificial sweeteners as well. So my suggestion is to avoid those as much as possible and just choose natural things, that herbal type sweetener, which is stevia or another natural type. Now, there's another one too, brown rice syrup. You can find at health food stores, and that's been shown for diabetics to be a lot better as well. So go to a health food store, ask them, because you can find some natural sweeteners that are a lot better for you than the artificial ones.
The other option, just worth mentioning, for those who are listening today, they may not have a health food store nearby. I mean, that's hard to believe in America today, but I know I've been in places where it is difficult. You get out into some reservation areas, and there may just not be a lot of options out there. I remember a woman some years ago that I visited on a reservation. We were actually doing some health programs there for tribal members, and she basically was using the commodity foods that were available, things that were available in that small grocery store. They were not health foods, but making healthful dishes from them and showing people in her community how to do that. And one of the messages that you get from an example like that is just re-educate your tastes. Just start to enjoy the simple sweet tastes of natural fruit, natural sweet vegetables, the squash, the corn that we mentioned. I mean, some of these things that we wouldn't think of as dessert food, once you get away from these artificially sweetened things and these things loaded with refined sugars, I think people often develop a much greater enjoyment for those simple things that the Creator provided.
I agree so much. I know it's true for me. I don't eat sweetened things at all anymore. And I've just retrained my taste buds. And so many natural foods taste sweet and they're just delicious. Like you said, I'm glad you brought that up. Just eat fruit or the natural foods, and they provide and sustain health and help us to maintain our weight. And there's so many wonderful benefits from eating the whole natural foods that we're provided. So that's an excellent point. You can retrain your taste buds.
Now, Sherry, I know earlier in the show, as we're speaking about fruit right now, you mentioned that there were some fruits that were better choices than others when it comes to hormone balance, and whether we're thinking of diabetes or whether we're thinking of having this leptin, this kind of anti-fat hormone working better. What are the best fruits? Is there a simple way to describe a class of fruits or a type of fruit that is better than another?
Yes, when it comes to fruit, the better ones that are lower in sugar are the berries. Blueberries, raspberries, blackberries, any of the berries, strawberries, are a low sugar fruit. Apples, the lower sugar apples, like the more tart apples, are a much better choice than the sweeter apples. So the Granny Smith or Pippins or any of the more tart apples would be a good choice. Cantaloupe is a little bit lower in sugar, lower than watermelon, so it would be a good choice. And then some of the, like plums and some of the summer fruits, peaches, pears, those are good.
Which ones should we avoid?
Bananas are really high in sugar. Pineapple's up there. Watermelon's pretty high in sugar as well. And the dried fruits like raisins and dates and so forth are quite high in sugar.
Well, back with Dr. David DeRose and Dr. Joni Bakavoy in 2026, we rolled back the clock. Listen to an older recording. Hopefully you found that as practical as I found it, just reminding us of some things that, yes, we've known about it for years, but so many people still need to connect with these practical strategies. My thanks that Sherry pulled away from her busy schedule many years ago to record that program with me, and that we've been able to feature it again on today's show. Dr. Bakavoy, as we close out this show, there's a lot of folks in Indian country and folks with not even a drop of native blood that struggle with their weight. As we're kind of closing this show up, do you have any words of encouragement for individuals who, almost a show like this, they leave kind of frustrated thinking, oh, here's just more things that I'm not going to be able to be successful with?
No, I would think that this would actually give them hope, because I think this is an opportunity for them to look at weight loss from a different perspective and look at maybe some things that have been impacting their inability to lose weight that maybe they hadn't even thought about. What she talks about is how not sleeping well affects how your hormones are produced. We know that hormones have an impact on whether or not we can lose weight. And so this, I think, is a great perspective on simple, and I know it doesn't seem simple because it's just sleep, right? But ways that we can address better sleep can really help us with our weight loss journey.
Yeah, I love that emphasis. I love the emphasis on whole person health. I really see the future of weight loss and weight maintenance as saying, let's focus on just healthy lifestyles. And when we do that, what I find as a professional is that my patients, they tend to come down and equilibrate at a weight that is optimal for them. And sometimes that optimal weight is not what they want to weigh, but they had some early life history, whether it was in the womb, whether it was, you know, in childhood, things that predisposed them maybe to weigh more, predisposed them to diabetes or high blood pressure. So it doesn't mean we can turn back the clock on everything, but it also doesn't mean you have to be on an unrealistic program. I've met people who've done great, lost a lot of weight, but didn't get down to whatever they thought the ideal weight should be. And as a result, they got discouraged and just threw in the towel. Even though they lost 50, 100 pounds, they didn't lose 150 that they wanted. So as we wind up today, how about that dynamic? Do you think some people sabotage themselves by having unrealistic weight loss goals?
I definitely believe that. And I've done that in my past as well.
It's easy to do. Easy to do. Well, we got to go. We're so glad that every one of you joined us for today's edition of American Indian and Alaska Native Living. Hopefully you enjoyed the look back at a program that we featured many years ago, originally in 2007, with Sherry Kalbaum and her book, Sleep Away the Pounds. We're going to try to do some other episodes like this. If you like it, let us know. If you think we're making a big mistake, tell us. We're going to mix it in with a lot of recent guests as well. Don't worry. We'll continue some of our high-quality interviews with people in 2026, 2027, as we go into our 25th anniversary year. But thank you for joining us again. Joni, thank you for pulling away from your busy schedule also.
Thank you so much. What a pleasure.
And again, as we close, I'm Dr. David DeRose wishing you the very best of health.
Native Voice One, the Native American Radio Network.